You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. We are still getting responses from our call out for your favorite summer song. And on our website, DHP writes, I have no idea what the kids are rocking to these days, but I'm all about Pavement's Summer Babe. Today we're asking you about lost and found. What have you lost or what have you found? There's always a story behind those. Let's hear your story, 8778, my take.
Amazing John? Stuff that was unclaimed and you got to keep. Those are the really happy stories that we're looking for. It's actually related to a story we're going to be doing about Iraq in a moment, but here's another Iraq story. You've heard of IEDs and Al-Qaeda in Iraq targeting U.S. soldiers, but how about Acinetobacter baumannii? Say it fast. You can't see it. It is stopped by no checkpoint. It can penetrate any green zone. It is a hospital-bred bacterium that has become resistant to antibiotics. In its drug-resistant form, this bacterium has been plaguing doctors in Iraq treating U.S. casualties since the war began. It preys specifically on the wounded with weakened immune systems or people vulnerable because they're connected to catheters and breathing tubes or have open wounds. Soldiers who are picking up this microbe in hospitals along the evacuation chain out of Iraq are bringing it back to the U.S., where those who have never even seen a battlefield can become infected. Dr. Michael Smith is a microbiologist. He worked for years in an effort to outfox this impenetrable drug-resistant bacterium. He's featured in a Nova Science Now episode that airs tonight. Dr. Smith, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
We've got a U.S. invasion here, right?
It seems so. It's been infecting hospitals around the world, so we've got to deal with it.
Now, Acinetobacter baumannii is one of a number of drug-resistant bacteria that the healthcare industry is trying to deal with here. What is unique about this particular bacterium?
Yeah, you know, this particular bug seems to have found a real soft spot in sort of the human relationship with bacteria. And what I mean by that is it's found, you know, antibiotic resistance, but not just resistance to everything. It seems to have organized its resistance in a way that really will confound us going forward. One strain was isolated that had 45 drug resistance genes in a single easy to share packet, so they can just sort of share it with all their friends and continue to be drug resistant to everything that we have available to us. So in the 70 years that we've been putting together antibiotics, it now has resistance to all of them.
Now, is this because this particular bacterium has been developing an immunity by being in contact with antibiotics, or is it because it's a fundamentally different kind of organism that because of hospitals and particularly the situation in Iraq, it gets deep into the body and is therefore more destructive for that reason?
I think it's a little bit of the combination. I mean, certainly exposure to antibiotics selects for resistance, but it's something about this particular bug that leads to the organization. It has an ability to organize its genes in a fashion that I don't think we ever appreciated before. And so that's a bit scary to see how a bug can take all of genes that are related to each other and stick them in one spot.
Scary indeed. Here's some sense of the fear from someone who's watching her husband in intensive care deal with something they never expected to be dealing with.
It seemed impossible to me that someone could be in a war and be hit by a bomb and survive this and then be actually felled by a simple bacteria in a hospital.
It's from Nova Science Now tonight. That's Lee Woodruff, who's the wife of the ABC News journalist Bob Woodruff, who was injured in Iraq by a blast, but then had to fight sepsis and this particular bacterium to stay alive, even though doctors were able to treat his serious blast injuries. Dr. Smith, how does the blast, the nature of how people get injured in Iraq, assist this bacteria in being so destructive?
Well, it's an opportunistic pathogen, and so it infects people who are immunocompromised. And When you undergo a stress such as a war wound or something like this, your immune system is compromised, and that's the way it gets in and stays in. And since we can't really treat it very well, these multi-drug resistant ones, it just sticks around.
Now
it can be very bad.
Yeah. We alluded to this idea that you've been trying to outfox this bacterium. What sorts of therapies and strategies that we haven't used in the past need to be applied here?
Well, one thing that I think we've come to understand about bacteria in the last few years is that they don't live in isolation. They live as communities, and they communicate with each other, and as a collective, can undergo developmental changes, such as conjugation, so they can en masse begin to mate, or they can en masse begin to activate virulence strategies. And so if you think about it that way, as a sort of collective organism that's invading you, that you could, rather than come doing what we've been doing, which is sort of bombarding them with antibiotics to try to kill them, maybe we can communicate with them in a way that they're communicating with each other and sort of interfere with that communication. So rather than bombing, go with diplomacy.
And diplomacy, in your mind, is really about focusing the attention on figuring out the DNA of the bacteria and then trying to confront it with some kind of re-engineering method.
That's right. You need to understand how they're talking to each other first in order to figure out how we can talk to them.
So you need to focus your therapies in the actual mating process so that people don't pass along their immunity and, in fact, reduce their immunity. But I'll tell you, the whole thing sounds like a Michael Crichton screenplay, Dr. Smith. I mean, a conspiratorial bacteria taking down soldiers in Iraq and bringing it over to the United States. But it's absolutely real.
That's absolutely right. And one other thing that we should try to keep in mind is our best practices in hospitals. So 100 years ago before Pasteur, doctors didn't wash their hands in between surgeries. And now we realize that that's not a good idea. And I think there are practices that are going on now that we'll think later, why did we do it that way? Such as, wearing long-sleeve shirts and wearing ties that could be pulling bacteria around from patient to patient. Things like these can be changed and limit the transmission.
Well, Dr. Michael Smith, you're one of the central characters in tonight's episode of Nova Science Now, which airs on PBS and is a co-production of WGBH, our partner here on The Takeaway. Dr. Smith, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.